Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
You see it all around you. Good loving.
All right, it's 18 after the hour. And it's Tuesday, which means Dr. John Lott is here, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Dr. Lott, welcome back to the program.
Great to talk to you again, Steve.
Well, I understand that we have some officials from the United States that are either in Mexico or just returning. They're on their way down there to discuss this international gun control treaty. Now, we talked about this a while back because this is the treaty that was signed, I believe, in 2013. By Secretary of State John Kerry. And the problem with these treaties is it'll sit on the shelf and collect dust, but it doesn't go away and it doesn't expire. And at some future date, a date to be named later, it can be signed into law, which in effect, this thing that John Kerry signed, if I'm not mistaken, would in effect be an end run on the Second Amendment.
Right. Well, it would require things like registration, licensing of guns. There are other regulations that are in there that are problematic. But I don't really think that Americans, probably within the foreseeable future, need to worry about so much as my concern is what will happen to other countries. So, for example, there's an election in Canada right now, and there seems like a fairly good chance that the Conservative Party will lose power there. And if that's the case, then either the Liberals or the NDP there will go and enact their own treaty with the UN. And so, it's unfortunate. I mean, Canada already has fairly strict gun control laws, and if you reduce gun ownership there and reduce it in other countries, I think it does have a feedback effect in terms of support for people owning guns in the United States.
Well, you know, the thing about Canada that a lot of people don't realize, there became the big gun registry there a few years ago that was later overturned because it was a waste of time, a waste of money, and it had no impact on crime whatsoever. This all occurred in the last few years, correct?
Correct. In the late 90s, they had enacted a registration for rifles. They'd had one since the 30s for handguns. And they spent billions of dollars on it for a country that has the population similar to California. That was a lot of money to spend on it. And yet, during the debate, when it was being brought up what they should do a few years ago with it, it came out that they couldn't point to any crimes that had been solved as a result of the registration licensing. They put billions of dollars in with the claim that it would have stopped crime. And, you know, in theory, if a gun is used in a crime and it's left at the crime scene and it's registered to the person who committed the crime, then you can go and trace the gun back to the criminal and catch him. The problem is Canada learned that in virtually no cases was the crime gun left at the crime scene. In the few cases that it was left there, it wasn't registered. And if it was registered, it wasn't registered to the person who committed the crime. And so, while in theory you might be able to trace it back, in practice it was essentially useless. So they had spent billions of dollars and couldn't point to any crimes that they had solved. And it's just not in Canada. We've had registration in parts of the United States. Hawaii, which you think would be an ideal experiment for getting registration to work, has had registration since about 1960. And yet, a few years ago, when I was testifying in Hawaii, they had the chief of the Honolulu Police Department come in, and he was asked how many crimes. He was told in advance he was going to be asked how many crimes they'd been able to solve as a result of their registration and licensing system, and he, too, was unable to point to a single crime that had been solved. And so here's the problem. In Canada, let's take Hawaii. In Hawaii, the police chief was estimating that it took 50,000 hours a year of police time to go and maintain the registration licensing system that they had.
So when it came to economics and so forth, I mean, the money just doesn't add up then. The time spent for the return is almost, it's almost negligible.
Right. Well, I mean, 50,000 hours of police time. I mean, how many crimes could you solve? I mean, we know
police
works. Policing works. And so you've taken out 50,000 hours that, as you say, you could either save the money, not spend it, or spend it on actually reducing crime. Instead, you put it into something that feels good for some politicians or whatever, but it doesn't produce any benefit. That money is lost.
Yeah, it makes no sense. The money's squandered. You know, 50,000 hours, not only the crimes you solve, but the ones you prevent. I mean, because you have community policing and police are out there walking a beat or whatever it may be, you know, right. and working in the community, solving crime as opposed to chasing around some shadow that doesn't really get us anyways. I guess my question then, back to this deal in Mexico and the UN discussion down there, what are we down there discussing then? What are we going over?
Well, I mean, I guess we're going over what the Obama administration hopes will happen. I'm not privy to what they're actually talking about there, but you know, given the general title there, I assume we're trying to convince Mexico that they should help us and, you know, or help us lobby for getting it passed here in the United States.
Well, clearly, because the Mexican gun control laws have been so effective in controlling violence in northern Mexico, it's worked so well. We should model ourselves after what they do.
Right. Well, I mean, one of the problems people need to understand is even when you go and ban guns, which is essentially what Mexico has done, drug gangs, just as they can go and obtain illegal drugs, surely seem to be able to go and obtain the weapons that they need to go and protect those valuable drugs. I mean, they have very valuable property there. And it's not just the Mexican government, but our own government spent huge resources on trying to stop illegal drugs from coming in. And if, you know, it's not like these drug gangs can go and call up the police and say, look, this other gang stole our drugs. Can you help us get them back? They
can
have to go and set up their own little military in order to protect their valuable property. And they do every day.
Dr. John Lott, always a pleasure. I greatly appreciate it. And we'll talk soon, my friend.
Thanks.
There you have it, Dr. John Lott, the Crime Prevention Research Center President.